Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
Samuel, recognized as a major prophet and the last judge of Israel, lived during a time of great transition, from the period of the judges to the monarchy. His role in anointing both Saul and David as kings underscores his pivotal role in Israel's history.
Samuel established schools or communities of prophets during his tenure as a leader and spiritual guide to address a need for order, religious education, and moral guidance. The individuals in these schools, referred to as sons of the prophets, were devout followers seeking to deepen their spiritual understanding and serve their communities. The influence of Samuel's initiative persisted into the times of Elijah and Elisha. Under these two leaders, the sons of the prophets took on a more pronounced role. Through these schools, the legacy of prophecy was nurtured, ensuring that the critical role of the prophet continued to influence Israel's religious and cultural landscapes. But not all the students became prophets in the traditional sense of directly delivering God's messages to rulers or the people. These schools served broader educational and communal functions that prepared individuals for various roles within Israelite society, particularly in legal, religious, and political spheres. Some of the students, trained to read and write, became scribes. They were employed to keep records for the temple or for civil administrations, documenting everything from religious texts to legal transactions and historical records. One such scribe is a man named Amittai from the town of Gath Hepher, a small town within the tribal territory of Zebulun in northern Israel. Situated near Nazareth, it is in a fertile region, benefiting from the more temperate climate and ample rainfall that facilitate agriculture and livestock farming. Gath Hepher's inhabitants worship Yahweh at local high places, sometimes traveling to major religious centers like Bethel or Samaria for festivals and sacrifices. During the reign of Joash, the northern kingdom of Israel sees periods of recovery and military success. Joash's policies, including the restoration of territories and strengthening of the military, bring stability and prosperity to the region.
Amittai rises, his presence commanding silence and respect.
Thank you, Eldad. As we all know, a dispute has arisen concerning the boundary between Naomi and Eliab's properties. Such conflicts can fester, leading to greater troubles if left unresolved. Naomi, Eliab, please come forward and present your cases.
Thank you, Amittai. My family has tended our vineyard for generations, as marked by the ancient stone boundary. Recently, I discovered that Eliab has moved the marker, claiming part of my vineyard as his own. This act not only threatens my livelihood, but disregards our ancestors' agreements.
Amittai, while I respect the traditions, the stone marker was misplaced, not representing the true boundary set by our grandfathers. I moved the marker only to correct this oversight and claim what is lawfully mine. I seek only fairness, as does Naomi.
This is indeed a grave matter. A boundary stone is sacred, serving as a testament to our forebears' agreements. Moving such a stone is not taken lightly in the eyes of our laws and our God.
Amittai turns to address the community.
It is written in the book of the law, "Do not move your neighbor's boundary stone set up by your predecessors." The integrity of our land and our word are at stake. I propose that we consult the oldest maps in our possession and gather testimonies from the longest living members of both families.
Amittai's proposal is met with nods of approval.
Let us reconvene with this evidence in 3 days' time. Meanwhile, let us all reflect on the virtues of honesty, respect, and communal harmony. Eliab, Naomi, I urge you both to consider not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of community that has long guided us.
Naomi and Eliab nod reluctantly, agreeing to the terms.
Let this council be adjourned until then. May wisdom and truth guide us forward.
Wise counsel is always, my friend.
Yahweh be praised.
I have not seen your son Jonah for more than a week. He was not in the synagogue for Shabbat.
He is in Samaria. He is there for the coronation of the new king.
Ah, Jeroboam. His ascent to the throne has been peaceful. Let us hope this is a harbinger of good things to come in the kingdom.
Prophet Jonah, you have asked for an audience. What message do you bring from the Lord?
O King Jeroboam, son of Joash, I come before you today not with warnings of doom, but with a prophecy of hope and expansion given by the Lord God Almighty. Thus says the Lord, I have seen the affliction of my people, and I am mindful of their suffering and their longing for relief and prosperity. Therefore, I will act through you, Jeroboam, to restore the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of the Arabah.
Continue, prophet. What does the Lord require of us?
The Lord requires faithfulness and courage. He has chosen you to lead his people in this time of recovery. Your reign shall be marked by reclamation and strength. As you trust in the Lord and adhere to his commands, so shall your enemies be subdued, and the lands of our forefathers restored to your hand.
A moment of silence follows as the weight of the prophecy sinks in.
Remember, O King, that this prosperity is from the Lord. It is he who grants victory, and it is he who blesses the land. Honor him in your deeds and your reign, and he shall establish your rule.
Prophet Jonah, your words have ignited a hope within me that was dimmed by constant strife. We will indeed endeavor to be faithful stewards of this divine gift. Advisors, make preparations, for we shall begin to strengthen our borders as the Lord wills.
Jonah nods his head slightly in acknowledgement.
May the Lord be with you, King Jeroboam, and may his favor shine upon Israel.
For the next few years, Jonah's life in Gath Hepher is relatively quiet. He fasts and prays and teaches, often leading worship services in a nearby open-air sanctuary. Sometimes he assists his father and the local council with tribal disputes. One day, as Jonah visits his father's house, the two discuss goings-on in the heathen city of Nineveh. Nineveh was situated on the eastern bank of the Tigris River, lying on a main route that connected the Mediterranean to the heart of Asia. By the time of Jonah, Nineveh was already one of the important cities of the Assyrian Empire. It later became the capital under the reign of King Sennacherib towards the end of the 8th century BC. An extensive city, it is fortified with large walls and has several large gates. The city includes temples, palaces, and other significant administrative buildings.
Father, have you read the reports from Nineveh? What they did to those merchants from Benjamin makes me want to retch. Their actions grow more heinous by the day. How can the Lord tolerate such wickedness?
Yes, my son, I have heard. It is troubling indeed. But remember, the Lord's ways are not our ways. His patience is meant to lead to repentance, not to endorse sin.
But why does he wait? Their violence and oppression, and even their idolatry, insult all that we hold sacred. Should not justice be swift?
Come, sit with me. You see, Jonah, justice is a profound aspect of God's nature, but so is mercy. Nineveh is far from the light, yes, but they too are under God's gaze.
Mercy for Nineveh? How could mercy reach such a place?
That is the mystery of grace, isn't it? It reaches the darkest corners, the hardest hearts. Who are we to say where it should not go? God calls on the wicked to turn back from their ways, not out of weakness, but from a desire that none should perish.
And if they do not turn? If their wickedness continues to rise up before God?
Then God will act, in his time and his way. Our role, Jonah, is to be obedient, to speak when he commands us to speak, to go where he sends us, even if it is to the heart of Nineveh.
To go to Nineveh? Could you imagine facing that den of iniquity? These people are the worst kind of human garbage, not even fit to pollute the good earth by living on it. That Jehovah should take an interest in them.
Amittai, you are wanted for an emergency convening of the council.
I must go, son, but think carefully about the things I have said.
And then, one night, as Jonah slept, the word of the Lord came to him.
Jonah, son of Amittai, arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.
Cry out against it? To what end, Lord?
Prophesy that if the people fail to repent, it will be destroyed.
A city so wicked should be destroyed.
If they repent, I will spare them.
But Lord, are you still there? These are evil people, Lord.
Jonah, I heard you speaking to someone in the bedchamber while I was out collecting the eggs. Shouting even. Is everything all right?
Never mind, it's nothing. Go back to what you were doing.
To be continued.